Good morning, Christchurch, and welcome to our live stream service. We're so happy you tuned in with us. We'd love it if you would worship with us from wherever you're at. great, your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, you silenced the bones. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I hope everybody is enjoying Labor Day weekend and celebrating it in fun and safe ways with your friends and family. I'm going to say a prayer and get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for being such an incredible God. I thank you, Father, that you are here with us in these moments and we can call on you and that you promise to hear us when we do. I pray, Father, that you would hear us right now, every heart, Father, crying out to you. We need you. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your direction. I pray, Father, that as we learn more about who Christ is, we would connect to you in greater ways than we've ever connected to you before. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In March, if you guys remember way back 6 months ago, Italy, at the time, was the world's worst affected country by the coronavirus. Now, it seems crazy because I remember 6 months ago and looking at, like, the numbers and, like, just feeling so shocked by how high everything was in Italy and who knew that where we would be in America today right now. But at the end of March, I read this article about a 17-year-old priest named Father Giuseppe Berardelli. And he lived in northern Italy, and it was an area that was really, really hit really hard by the virus. He'd served as a priest for 47 years, and in March, he was diagnosed with COVID-19. When his condition worsened, he was actually admitted to a hospital to be treated, and when it came time they thought he needed to be put on a ventilator, he actually refused the ventilator so it could be given to a younger patient than him. And not long after this decision, the priest ended up passing away. Now, it was so just powerful reading this article. This priest who loved Christ and served him gave his life, sacrificed what could have saved him for the good of somebody else. It was a powerful story in such an incredibly hard time. It was such a cool picture of sacrifice and grace in a really dark moment. And I remember reading this article and feeling so moved at the goodness and the sacrifice of this man. And you know what? There's a reason why when we hear these stories or read these stories, they're so powerful and so meaningful, because it doesn't seem that we see them very often. As we watch the news and scroll through social media, and as we talk to people around us who all have very big, large opinions, sacrifice isn't really a popular topic. It's not at the top of what everybody is talking about, and it's not trendy. Instead, we're much more likely to see people fighting to be heard and proving why they're right and talking about their opinion on everything underneath the sun. We hear people telling us what they deserve and what they're entitled to and what they have to do and don't have to do. And there's arguments about politics and politicians, and there's trash talking each other and arguing with each other and fights breaking out about everything that we can think of. We see selfishness and pride and anger and violence. And ideas like kindness and sacrifice and grace seem very, very few and far between. Yet in the middle of this pandemic and this worldwide trouble, we started seeing these just incredible stories of people going above and beyond in an incredibly hard time. We started hearing stories of people helping each other and working around the clock to make sure that the sick were taken care of and stepping in to help the vulnerable. And every time we see these stories, it feels like just a little glimpse of hope, a little spark of light in our dark and messy world. And while sacrifice might not be very popular in our culture, it's not very much talked about right now, it is an incredibly powerful idea that traces its way all the way back through Christian history. Even back into the Old Testament, we see this idea of sacrifice coming up again and again and again. When you look back to the law that was handed down to Moses, there was all of these regulations that came along with the law, and priests were appointed, and they came from the line of Levi, and from Aaron's family, the high priest was chosen, and they were appointed as a whole family and set apart with a job to do. Their job started with offering sacrifices. The people of Israel were required to make regular sacrifices. If we ever were thankful for not living in the ancient civilizations, here's one. All of the animals and the sacrifice and the blood, you can read about it in Leviticus. It's there. It happened. Thank God we don't have to do it right now. But people were required to make sacrifices, and they brought the best of their crops and the best of their herds and the animals to God. And these gifts, these sacrifices, was a way of offering up for their guilt offering, their sin sacrifice. And the priests were there to kind of like mediate between them and God and make the sacrifices on their behalf and all of the stuff that went with it. But as they made intercession, they would plead with God on behalf of the people. You can read about the prayers of leaders, and they would plead with God like, hey, don't forget your people, or God, please don't leave us in this mess, or God, we need your help. And then they would actually bless the people as well. And it was told, when you bless the people, here's how you do it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. I'd break out into song right now, but you'd all probably hit mute, or we'd see everybody log off of live stream really quick. But sacrifice was this big part of the Jewish tradition, and sacrifices had to be made again and again, and it was a regular part of how they did life. And the priest was there to help them. The priests were there to guide them, and they were influential leaders in their community. So when the author of Hebrews sits down and writes his letter to the community of people that had been very familiar with the Jewish law and grown up in the Jewish tradition, they'd grown up with priests and sacrifice, and many of them were priests and had grown up in this tradition, they were very familiar with this. And they had met Christ, and they followed Christ and gave their hearts to him, and they were having this struggle, this hard time of leaving their old way of life. They knew it. They'd grown up with it for generations upon generations upon generations. They had the traditions and the laws and the sacrifices, and they were in a moment that was hard because they were facing persecution from people who used to be their friends. They were facing persecution from outsiders, and they had all of this hard time trying to decide, what are they going to do next? And so this letter that the author of Hebrews writes to them is a reminder right in the midst of hardship, saying, let me remind you who Christ is. Let me remind you why Christ is greater than every idea, every tradition, every law that you've ever practiced. Remember who he is. And he starts off right in the beginning. The voice of Christ is greater than any voice we'll ever hear. All the prophets, all the angels, they had great messages. But now, God's word finds its fullest and greatest expression in Jesus Christ. And then he picks up this idea and says he's also the greater high priest. You remember the priest, and you remember the traditions and how the high priest is appointed, and it comes down through the family and this tradition that you've grown up with and you've respected, this important role in your community. All of those existed and all of those held place only to point us to Jesus Christ, who is the great high priest. And he says, let me tell you about Jesus, our great high priest. Yes, he came and he was called and he was appointed and he offered sacrifice. But Jesus, our great high priest, when it came time to make a sacrifice, it wasn't lambs and it wasn't grain and it wasn't any of those things that the priests used to do. He made a sacrifice and he sacrificed himself. Christ offered himself up as the sacrifice out of great love and mercy that we might be saved. The human priests were human. They messed up and they made mistakes, and the sacrifices they had to offer again and again and again for themselves and for the people. But the sacrifice that Christ made, he did once and for all time, for all people. Here, Christ was perfect. Fully God and fully human, but in his death, he took all the imperfection and the brokenness of the world onto himself. He took all our mess and exchanged it with his glory. He took what's worst in us and exchanged it with what's best in him. And then here's what the author says in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, I love this because the author says, let's hold fast to our confession. So we have to start, what's our confession? What's the confession that we made? And you can trace back through Christian history. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit who helps us believe and have faith. I believe that Jesus Christ came into this world fully God and fully human and died on a cross for our sins. I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave 3 days later so that he might intercede on our behalf. I believe that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might live. And now that we believe that, the author says, let's hold fast to that confession. Let's hold fast to that belief that we have in Jesus Christ, because it directs us through all of these other channels that we have to navigate. And when we think about Christ is, and when we start with what we believe about Christ, we remember our great priest knows us. He knows our problems. He knows our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our struggles, our pain, our frustrations. He walked where we walk. He understands us. He sympathizes with us. He empathizes with what we go through, and he stands with us in our dark place. I know we're fighting the dark place so hard right now, and things keep going at us after again and again, but Christ stands with us there, and he isn't appalled by us. He isn't ashamed. He's with us. He hasn't turned his back on us or looked away from us. He knows us. He sees us right where we are. And Jesus Christ has overcome what we cannot. He's defeated what feels impossible to us. And because of who he is, because of what he's done, he's ready to intervene on our behalf. He doesn't just stand with us, but he takes up our part. He is with us, defending us, intervening for us, and connecting what we cannot connect on our own. And the author of Hebrews says, when we draw near to Christ, let me tell you what happens. We find confidence, boldness. What happens is Christ came into this world and everything changed. Listen to what John Ortberg said in his book, Who is This Man? He said, all the peoples in the ancient world had gods. Their gods had different names, but what they shared was a hierarchical way of ordering life. At the top of creation were the gods, and under them was the king, and under the king were the members of court and the priests who reported to the king. And then you had artisans and merchants and craftspeople, and then below them was this large group of peasants and slaves and the dregs of humanity. And he called it the dignity gap. The farther down the ladder you go, the wider the gap. And the gap became challenged by an idea that Christ brought into the world with him, that there is one God, and he is good. And every single human being is made in his image. Every single human being has royal dignity because we're made in the image of God. And when Jesus Christ looked out at people, he saw in them the image of the Creator, in every person, and it caused him to treat people with dignity. Friends, Christ treats us with dignity. He came into this world and became like us that we might become like him. Many of us are familiar with this ladder and the dignity gap and the hierarchy that leaves us feeling not good enough and how obvious we don't belong in certain situations. I mean, you learn pretty young as a teenager in middle school and high school that there are groups and you belong in some and you don't belong in others. And as we grow up, it doesn't go away. It changes and it shifts, but there's always somebody in a higher position, whether it's in a company or a community or a social gathering, people who have more than us, right? More money or more home or more belongings or more position. And they're always very ready to let us feel, I belong and you don't. They have something and we don't. And it leaves us feeling not good, insecure, and mostly on the outside. We're well aware of the gaps that exist between us and them. And if we don't remember those, there are very much ready people to remind us. But friends, it is not that way with Jesus Christ. Christ doesn't say, look at this gap and how far apart we are. In fact, Christ came in to bridge the gap and bring us to God, something we never could do on our own. He includes us and makes room for us. He shares his dignity with us. He, in fact, gave the very best of himself and exchanges it out with the worst that is in each of us. And when we draw near to Jesus Christ, we do so with confidence, with boldness, confidence that he hears us and he cares about what we have to say, confidence that we matter to him, confidence that when he looks at us, he treats us with dignity and not shame, confidence that we belong with him, that he's got space for us and room for us. And it gives us the ability to be bold because we know he's at work and we connect with him knowing that he cares and that we matter. So when we draw near to God, we do so with boldness and confidence because Christ stands there connecting us, bridging the gap that exists in our world so that we have access to God, something we never could find on our own. But then we also find grace and mercy. When we draw near to Jesus Christ, we don't just find acceptance and a place to be. We find this incredible gift of kindness and goodness and grace and mercy. Now, if you've ever been in a position where you needed help before, grace and mercy go a really, really, really long way. I was eating lunch yesterday, and it was just me and my younger daughter at home, and as I'm eating lunch, my crown fell out of my mouth. Now, I just had the crown put in. I had a root canal done years ago. And of course, now I'm in a panic because, friends, there's a lot of things I can do, but being toothless is not one of them. And it was like a big front, obvious to see tooth. And I'm holding the crown in my hand going, oh no, what am I going to do? So I called the dentist in a panic. And of course, they're closed on Saturday. And of course, it's a holiday weekend. And God bless my dentist. I got the emergency number. I called him. He called me back. He dropped what he was doing. He came in on a Saturday when I'm sure he had way more better things to do than come in and fix my weird mouth. And he gave me a temporary fix so I didn't show up toothless today. And he didn't have to do that. He dropped his plans. He had family coming in from out of town. And God bless him, his wife just had a baby a couple of weeks ago. But he made room to help me. And that little bit of kindness, that grace that he showed me in that moment, it meant the world to me. When we need help from Jesus Christ, he's not waiting to shame us. He's not waiting to rake us over the coals or humiliate us or turn us down. He's waiting to help us. Christ isn't going to say no when we ask him for help. In fact, Christ left his home, his wonderful splendor, majesty of heaven home, and stepped into our world to help us. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't easy, but he willingly did that for us so that he could help where we absolutely needed it the most. Jesus Christ willingly stepped into the pain and the brutality and the shame of the cross. He wasn't forced into it. Nobody twisted his arm to make him do it. He chose to. He heard our panic and our distress, and he came into this world to show us grace and mercy, not to beat us up, not to make life harder or to hurt us more, but to show us kindness and compassion. Friends, Christ is waiting to show us grace and mercy right now. And the power of grace is that grace frees us. It frees us from our past. It frees us from our pain. It frees us from our mistakes, our bad decisions, our regret, our past failures. Jesus Christ literally came in to set us free from all of these things. But here's what we can't forget. This grace that Christ shares with us, it's free. It frees us and it costs us nothing, but it cost Christ everything. And I can't ever take for granted that the grace Christ so freely shares with me cost him everything. And yet he willingly gave it, willingly sacrificed his life that we might know a God who loves us without end. When we draw near to Christ, we find confidence and boldness, and we find grace and we find mercy, and then we also find help in our time of need. See, Christ understands our hearts. He understands our needs, and he's ready to help us right where we are. There's nothing worse than trying to do hard things on your own. And we have a lot of hard things that we've been trying to do for months now. And we've got a lot of hard things that we're staring down in the future, and it's exhausting and it's discouraging and we're worn thin. We cannot do everything that needs to be done by ourselves. We will not succeed. It's impossible. But by the grace of Jesus Christ, we don't have to. We don't have to solve all of our problems by ourselves. We don't have to endure every long, hard day alone because Christ is with us. And in Christ, we look into the fierce eye of the storm and we can challenge and fight and push back because a mighty God is fighting on our behalf. Christ didn't leave us in the dark to fend on our own, but Christ stepped in and shone the light, and the light will not be defeated by the darkness. It's the light of Jesus Christ that's going to guide us and see us through. Friends, there's no fight that Christ hasn't already won. There's no battle that Christ hasn't already faced. Every struggle that we have to endure, we do so knowing that the one who went before us endured every hardship the world could throw at him. And he didn't just survive it, he conquered it and was a champion over it. And he calls us to be more than just surviving these moments, but champions and conquerors right where we are today. The grace and kindness of our incredible Savior Jesus Christ is with us in these moments. We are not alone. I want to remind you of what Ray Johnston said, an incredible pastor in California. He said, "The central invitation of the Bible is to develop a hope-giving relationship with God, who, if he could get your attention for just a few minutes, would say these words to you, 'Get back up. The game's not over.'" He said, "The solution to everything is not the right religion. It's not the right ritual. It's the right person. And that person for our life is Jesus Christ." Friends, we have a great high priest in Jesus Christ who sacrificed everything that we might be able to fight the fights that we have today. Can I please remind you, you are not in this alone, because Christ went before us and he invites us to draw near to him. And when we do, we find confidence and boldness and grace and mercy and help right now in our greatest time of need. But here's the thing. We got to turn to him. We got to look to him. We got to ask and plead for his help, because the promise is he will intercede, he will bless, and he will help us right where we are. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please hear the cries of our heart. I know that for many of us, it hasn't been easy. We faced loss. We faced hurt. We faced pain. We faced struggle. We faced aggravation from all sides. But Father, please help us all to feel the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ today. I pray, Father, that we would be able to hold fast to our confession, that we believe in him and what he did on our behalf. I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to draw near to you, and that as we do, you would bless us with grace and mercy and confidence, and that you would help us in our times of need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in our live stream. We'll see you next Sunday.